Since the opening of Persona 5, the player has identified with the values of the larger public and the protagonists, calling themselves the Phantom Thieves. Save those who are being abused from those who are abusing their own authority. Now, this concept of justice has carried our trust in the protagonists and those who desire to fight for the abused. Until recently, we see an opposing position. Can we dichotomize justice? Better yet, do we leave justice in the hands of the individual, or do we place it in the hands of those who determine what it is for themselves? These bringers of justice, identifying themselves as thieves, are surely providing relief to many abused. Granted, with the self-identifying title, thieves isn't common of a hero, but their title isn't where this issue begins. Do we leave these matters to the police? Do we allow the Phantom Thieves to investigate and correct the criminals for them? Is this another means of taking the power away from the funded police? Is that what this thing is about? Or is it about taking matters into your own hands and changing the tides of fate, indicative of one's own access to one's untapped potential? What power is unseen and untraceable? Considering the Phantom Thieves assist the police department in their endeavors anyway, the perpetrators just confess. So what is this about, really? Now, the populace is divided in so much as fear. And so we begin with the mystery of the secret hacker society called the Medjed. Yo, what's up? Welcome back. Welcome back to the Painful Podcast. I'm the Painful, and this space is for you. Welcome back, my Phantom Thieves. I would do my full spiel, but this is about Persona 5, so I'm only going to drop my social media handles. If you haven't listened to my previous Persona 5 podcast, I start talking about Persona 5, I think, in 2019. So go all the way back there. I think the very first episode is called Shadows, Persona 5, Shadows and Their Value. I start there and I talk about just the overall dopeness of Persona 5. But then I figure, yo, let's continue on with the story. And I keep going there. But I left off at Kaneshiro's Palace. One, because Persona 5 Royale came out. And two, I had a lot going on just work-wise. My schedule was all over the place and I didn't have any time like that. Well, I didn't make any time to continue with Persona 5. So I held off. Later in the year, I got Royale, and I said to myself, once I accomplish a lot of the tasks and get them off my desk, I'm going to crack open Royale, and I did. So I had to, of course, Royale is just, it's a re-release of Persona 5. You have to play the game over again, but there's new characters and different pieces that are added into the story. And it gets more interesting. They add more confidants and different arcanas and stuff like that. So I'm learning that. All right. So we left off with Kaneshiro giving us this hint that there's someone else exploring the shadow world like myself, but I should be careful, basically. Just watch out because someone is big and bad and yada, yada, yada. Okay, so that's where we leave off at. And we open with the Phantom Thieves. We're having like a study session. We're preparing for exams the following week, and we're sitting in the cafe. Of course, the cafe is where Sojiro is my acting guardian right now, and I live in the cafe. I live in the upper floor of the cafe, but that's Sojiro's shop. That's where he runs his business. So we're sitting there and we're just studying for exams. We're having a blast. We're just talking. Ryuji is excited about the fireworks festival. Like he just wants to, he's the more lively character, just looking forward to just life and just the fun things of life as well. So we're conversing and all that good stuff. And the scene cuts to someone listening in on our entire conversation, study session and conversation. So the person listening though, in this separate space, spying on us, is a female. We can tell. We see her back. She's wearing headphones and a few computers are in front of her. So she has about, I don't even know how many screens in front of her, but she's listening in on us. And it's pretty creepy. You know, then it closes out. The scene kind of closes out. Next, we are In school, Dr. Maruki. Now, I want to talk just a hot second about Dr. Maruki. So he is a new character added into the show, or not the show, but into the game. Now, he's a school counselor, and he was hired during the Kamoshida incident, a little after the Kamoshida incident in Shujin Academy. And he has an arcana. He has a social relationship that he and I have to develop. Now, his arcana is called Le Consultant, which it stands for the counselor, essentially. It could also be considered the magician in the El Grand Tarot esoterical deck, but that's our relationship. So what we do is we meet, we have counseling sessions. I help him to understand things about pain in the heart and physical pain. And then he boosts my spirit points. He gives me mental training and he boosts my spirit points. So we have that relationship. Now, Kasumi, she's an additional character that was added as well. And her father is the director of the TV show Good Morning Japan. Kasumi is a interesting character in so much that I haven't really seen how she unfolds, but I do know, and it looks like she's probably going to be one of our main characters as well. I'm talking about like on the party as a phantom thief. She looks like it. But we'll get into Kasumi because she's important to the story right now. So Akechi, I talked about Akechi in the last episode about Kaneshiro. We met Akechi originally. We visited a TV show. Now, this is also in the original Persona, so he's not a new character. But we met Akechi by visiting a TV show for a school field trip for our social studies class. Akechi was giving an interview about the Phantom Thieves debating if their actions are of stealing hearts is legitimate or punishable. We form a bond eventually, and that arcana is the Justice of the Justice Tarot, or the Justice Arcana. So we learn basically that Akechi is working with Sai. Sai is Makoto's sister, if you remember Makoto. Sai is Makoto's sister. Sai is the prosecutor that is interrogating me in the opening or outside of the timeline. So as you know, this game is going back in time to lead up to why I am currently being apprehended by the police and why I'm being interrogated by the prosecutor, Sai Nijima. Why? So Akechi is working with her. So right now I'm in town and I run into Kasumi. She's a gymnast and stuff like that, but I'll get into her later. Akechi walks up on the scene while I'm outside with Kasumi and we go out to have lunch together. Okay. So while the three of us are having lunch, Akechi asks Kasumi what she thinks of the Phantom Thieves. Now, she appreciates the Phantom Thieves, but doesn't think their existence will benefit society in the long run. She thinks people should change their hearts on their own and that those who would rely on the Phantom Thieves too much wouldn't be sustainable. And I reply, because, you know, you get choices to reply in the conversations and things. So I reply something along the lines like, interesting perspective, something like that. Or that's a new perspective. Thanks for the new perspective, whatever. Okay, fast forwarding. Now the firework festival begins, but unfortunately it starts to rain very heavy and it's canceled. So we go inside this local convenience store to kind of get out of the rain because we had on, well, the girls had on and Yusuke had on like these nice kimono looking outfits. And we just kind of sit there, dry off, and then we go back home. So the psychotic breaks that were happening all over town, it's still a conversation, it's still in the news. But my character, I'm back home in the cafe, and I see this news interruption of the Medjed making a public announcement to the Phantom Thieves. And it kind of just popped up randomly at that, but it was this breaking news thing. And this is what happens. They say, to the Phantom Thieves causing an uproar in Japan, do not speak of your false justice. We do not need the spread of such falsehood. we are the true executors of justice, or I meant to say executors, sorry. We are the true executors of justice. I wrote this down because that's important for you to know. However, they say, however, we are magnanimous. We will give you an opportunity to repent your ways. If you agree to a change of heart, we will accept you as our own. If you reject our offer, the hammer of justice will find you. We are Medjed, we are unseen, and we will eliminate evil. Now, Yusuke, in the middle of our of me watching that, Yusuke, we have a group chat or whatever. Yusuke sends a group chat and explains what the Medjed is, just on a basic, on a superficial level. He says, Medjed is a god that appears in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Its name means the smiter, and its form is unattainable. It's an unseen god that flies through the sky and shoots from his eyes. Egyptian art is always showing gods drawn in a side profile. However, Medjed is facing straight ahead in all depictions of him. So it's an interesting thing. Now, I have not done any deeper reading on the Medjed. One, I'm not educated on breaking down a lot of this, a lot of the mythology and how it translates. But the way that it's added into the story is pretty interesting. So I'm wondering in my mind, is the next palace going to be something potentially, is it going to be related to anything Egyptian? Like, or what are we doing, right? That's what I'm thinking. Because obviously this is a really big deal in the story. So anyway, the following day I'm in class and I receive this thread of text messages from an unknown number, and the name is Alibaba. So whoever is texting me calls themselves Alibaba, and they ask me if I'm a phantom thief. Are you a phantom thief? And I can't reply. I'm just reading the messages. So they're just sending me a string of messages. So they then seek to make a deal with me. They exchange information on the Medjed. If the phantom thieves change the heart of a particular target, I still can't reply to the message. I tell the crew we link up at our hideout to talk about the text and to try to figure out how I was hacked. So I didn't get a target name. I didn't get anything. You know, we need target names, and we need to know what the target may think of themselves or may think of their palace, whatever it is. That's how we enter the Metaverse Navigator. But I got no information. So later we go back to LeBlanc Cafe, and you know, the cafe that Sojiro Sakura works at. Sojiro Sakura is my guardian, my active guardian. If you don't remember, Sojiro has his own house, but he lets me live on the second floor of the LeBlanc Cafe. If you didn't know, the LeBlanc Cafe is named after Maurice LeBlanc. As you know, my main persona is Arsène Lupin. I'm known for saying Arsène Lupin because of just the audiobooks that I've listened to of Arsène Lupin. So I don't say Arsène, I say Arsène, so forgive me. Anyway, but yeah, they still have these connections to Arsène, Arsène Lupin. So that's the name of the cafe. It's called LeBlanc Cafe. Anyway, so we're back in the cafe, we're eating, and then we have another message on the screen that pops up, breaking news from the Medjed. And they threaten any Japanese citizen who praises the Phantom Thieves, they threaten them with punishment of confiscation of their possessions. And everyone's like, what the hell does that mean? Confiscation of their possessions? Are you talking about, like, what? So the Medjed, apparently they're a hacking group. They had a history of hacking accounts and mainly corporate businesses. They tend to like hack emails, delete stuff. And that's their thing. So it would leave the populace to think that, okay, if they've done all this throughout the course of years and they were on the scene before the Phantom Thieves, but I guess they are reappearing as a result of Phantom Thieves getting attention in this conversation of justice. So they're popping up like, nah, they say that ain't real justice. We got the real justice. And if y'all showing y'all loyalty to them, we're going to wipe your accounts and we're going to cause issues. So now we're sitting there, but I had a letter that was in the mailbox while we're still at the cafe talking. And when I opened the letter, it was a calling card. Now, if you remember, the calling cards are what we send to those people or the criminals in the real world. And we sign them as the Phantom Thieves. And those are like our, those are like their warnings that we send to people to say like, yo, you have some time to confess or we're going to steal your treasure, aka change your heart. Usually calling cards are directed to a person. It has their name and it gives them a message. But our calling card that was sent to us was blank. So, but it was in the mailbox of the cafe. So whoever sent us that calling card must have information on us, clearly, right? So the following day in class, Alibaba texts me again, asking if I stole the heart of the target. But what target? Because there was no name on the calling card. So I'm asking Alibaba, what's the name of the target? And Alibaba replies, Futaba Sakura. So the name Futaba Sakura, the last name Sakura, was like, oh, interesting. So we're back in the hideout, right? And we recall that the last name Sakura is Sojiro's last name. Sojiro is my active guardian right now. So something about Alibaba isn't making sense. Again, we're starting to put two and two together. Like, yo, we don't have a name on the calling card. We didn't have a name of our target like that. And it seems as if the Alibaba is like, where is this information coming from? How do you know these are the things that we do, but you don't know exactly what we do? So it's making them think a little bit. So we're all kind of like, ruminating on this. So I agreed with the team to ask Sojiro about Futaba. Mind you, Sojiro and I are building a relationship. We've built one over time. You know, he's been teaching me how to make coffee and curry in the shop. And we're just building our connection together. So I asked him about Futaba. And he knew immediately what I was asking about. Like, he got offended real quick. How do you know about Futaba? And then he left. He said, lock up for the night, and just walked out. He kind of had an attitude. Well, not kind of. He definitely had an attitude. So, okay, so that means we're on to something. He kind of, the way that he reacted was very indicative of him having some knowledge. So now, the following day after school, I decide with Morgana. Morgana and I was like, yo, maybe you should explore your neighborhood, your local neighborhood, and ask to see if they have any information on Futaba Sakura. And we got nowhere. So, I mean, I walked around the entire neighborhood. I went into convenience stores and asked about Futaba, nothing. So I just give up and I end up walking back to the cafe. And guess who's in the cafe? Sai Nijima, the prosecutor who's prosecuting me outside of the timeline of the story. And Sai is telling, and you know, Sai is Makoto's sister. Sai is telling Sojiro that his parental rights will have to be suspended. Now, Sojiro assumes that Sai told me about Futaba, but she denies it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? Anyway, she says, and I wrote this down, considering the state of your daughter and your family overall, there are no points in your favor. So she threatens to take the case to domestic court where he will lose his rights almost definitely. So she says, considering the state of your daughter, and when he asked her, oh, so you told him about Futaba, is the daughter Futaba? Is that what she's saying? Considering the state of your daughter, is that what this is about? So that's one part of it. But the most important thing is that, yo, there's suspicions of abuse now because, yo, what the hell is going on? Like, considering the state of your daughter, what's happening? Is Sojiro abusive? Like, what is going on? You know, the plot gets real. It gets real thick out of nowhere. So we begin to deduce that perhaps Alibaba is connected to the cafe, but I'll explain why. And then we're wondering if these abuse allegations are like, yeah, what is this? Like, what's going on? So back at the hideout, I'm chilling with the crew. I receive more messages from Alibaba asking what took me so long with getting inside of the palace. I tell Alibaba that I need more information such as keywords in order to get into the metaverse. So I asked to meet with Alibaba, but Alibaba begins to think that in order for me to steal hearts, I must meet with the person directly. And Alibaba suddenly calls off the mission and then just like stops my ability to reply to them. And I'm like, okay, this is strange. So anyway, we go to get sushi. Now, the scene cuts to Akechi and Sai Nijima, the prosecutor. So Akechi and the prosecutor, they're chatting with each other. And they're in the police department. She says, the thieves made a mockery of the police department when they brought down Kaneshiro. And now the Medjed declare war. Now the resurfacing Medjed declare war on the thieves. So, like I said, the Medjed in the past, they were hacking, but they took a break. They were lying dormant up until the Phantom Thieves came back. So Akechi deduces, if she thinks that the cases she's pursuing and the actions of the Phantom Thieves overlap, considering that in the cases, those involved have an unforeseen change of heart. Akechi's very intelligent. He says, the Phantom Thieves' true goal is terrorist action by way of psychotic breakdowns. Then he asks Sai, did you learn anything from the guardian of that mental shutdown victim's daughter? So, in reinsert Sojiro. So apparently there's a mental shutdown victim, and that's Sojiro's daughter. And it's like, yo, mental shutdown. What is happening? Like, what is going on? And why is Sojiro in this? And what the hell? Do not tell me that we have to go into Sojiro's palace and see what the hell is going on. Anyway, so Akechi runs. This is the following day now. So Akechi runs into us at school, like our whole crew. And he begins his deductions. He begins to start asking questions, and he suggests that our group matches the Phantom Thieves' profile. He starts to like say, well, typically if the Phantom Thieves, they would spend time together after school. They would have to have plenty of time. And a couple other things he's saying, this would make him wonder if they are the Phantom Thieves. So we get suspicious and we're like, all right, so Akechi seems to be on to us. So we decide to lay low in the meantime. An checks the fan site, and she sees that the Medjed now are threatening stealing everyone's bank accounts, and they're going to cause a bunch of havoc if the Phantom Thieves don't reveal who they are, and they have until August 21st to reveal this information. So there's all this there's this random ultimatum that is made from the Medjed, and they posted on the site that the Phantom Thieves gets all their news and all their credit, and where it's like the social media platform of the Phantom Thieves, like a fan site, literally a fan site. Okay, so it just gets so weird. It's like, okay, so the Phantom Thieves, the Medjed are really relentless on getting the Phantom Thieves exposed because the Medjed does not agree with the Phantom Thieves' form of justice. So it's like making people wonder. And I'm wondering, like, I wonder who the Medjed is. I'm wondering if the Medjed is that girl that's watching them and spying on them. It's like, is the Medjed the police department trying to get a rise out of the Phantom Thieves? Like, what is the Medjed? Okay, so anyway, we're back at the cafe. Makoto, she says things with Futaba aren't adding up. So, as you know, Makoto, she's the high priestess energy. She's going to just get to the source. She's going to get to the depths of the thing. So she's going to have all this knowledge as she does. She's always been that super strategic and just super thoughtful. So she starts putting pieces together about Alibaba, right? As well. She says the way that Alibaba hits us up without a lot of accurate information is the first thing. The blank calling card is another thing. And Alibaba making demands without realizing what we need to be successful in achieving the target. So she asks, how would Alibaba know that her heart of Futaba, talking about Futaba, how would Alibaba know that her heart has changed without having some close contact with Futaba? So Makoto was like, I think Alibaba is Futaba. And we all gasp like, oh, shit. Maybe that's the case. So An suggests that maybe she wants us to save her from the scars of her abuse. And again, the plot is getting real thick and juicy, yo. So Listen. So, we decide to pry by going to Sojiro's house. We go to deliver sushi, quote unquote, and we ring the doorbell. No one answers, but for some reason, the gate is already unlocked and the front door is cracked. And it's also about to thunderstorm. So, how convenient, right? It's interesting. So we go inside the house. We agree to go inside. We agree to sneak inside. It's dark inside the house, except for this room down the hall with the TV on. And the hall is pretty dark. It's a little creepy. As we approach, the power just blows out because of the storm. And then we hear someone screaming out of the blue and the controller's vibrating. Everything's vibrating. And I'm like freaking out like, yo, what is this? We hear mad noise and just different sounds and things. Out of nowhere, right? Makoto suddenly freezes up. She just freezes. She turns around and there's this girl with huge glasses. There's no reflection in the glasses. It's just white glasses. And this figure is standing behind her. So everyone freaks the fuck out. And the girl re-enters the room that she was just in and closes the door. So Jiro comes downstairs and he's like, Futaba, are you okay? And then spots us. Long story short, we're in there and we learn that Futaba is Sojiro's daughter. So everything is slowly making sense. So we go back to the cafe and he begins to spill the tea. So now here's a story on Futaba. Futaba's mother and Sojiro knew one another before Futaba was even born. So, of course, Futaba's mother and father had a child. Futaba never knew her father. Futaba's mother was explained by Sojiro as just beautiful, kind of quiet, just peaceful mother, but suddenly just committed suicide. She threw herself into the street in front of traffic, in front of Futaba, when she was a child. So, Sojiro ended up taking custody of Futaba, but Futaba takes the blame for her mother's suicide, for all of that. And she can't deal with it. Eventually, Futaba began changing over time and said that she could hear voices. And her mother is over her, watching her, and she's hearing all this guilt. So Jira asks if we just leave her alone, just leave Futaba alone. So this is beginning to, again, make more sense as to why the prosecutor came in, because no one can explain how Futaba went into this state. And it's raising suspicion like, yo, are you abusing Futaba? What's the deal? And then we see that the story is, well, at least from as far as what Sojiro told us, is that Futaba is suffering somewhat of a depression and this kind of mental breakdown because of her mother's death. And it's all hitting her at once. So Sojiro leaves the cafe. We try to enter some keywords at the cafe to see if maybe we can get somewhere. So we plug in some words and actually begins to flicker. So we get close. We get close. But because we didn't figure out the words, we had to call it a night and then we just wait. But one thing I didn't include, Morgana was missing the entire time. Once we went to the house and we came back, Morgana wasn't with us. We came back to the cafe. Morgana wasn't there with us. Morgana was still inside of the house, but was inside of Futaba's room, spying on her, spying on us as we spoke in the cafe. So, yep, there it is. Futaba is the girl that was behind the computer screens, stalking us in the cafe. Futaba is, in fact, Alibaba. So that's just kind of helps us understand. Okay, so the following day, we decided to get the full keyword sequence to explore the palace. So the goal is to steal her treasure and explore her memories. Whatever she remembers about her past and her mom's death is distorted, and it's causing her immense levels of pain and this torture. We were having a conversation with Futaba and through text message because she would not speak to us. So we snuck back to Sojiro's house while Sojiro was working, and we're outside of her door. She would not speak to us, but she decides to text me from Alibaba's account again. And we're talking to her like, we need more information to get inside of the palace, but we need keywords. So she kept saying, I'm going to die here. This house, this place, or this house is my tomb. This bedroom is my tomb, or this house is my tomb. So one of the other things that she's been dealing with is she hasn't been leaving the house. She doesn't leave the house. So Gerald pretty much gets everything for her, food and everything, and he delivers it to her, basically. She stays in the house, not just in her room, but just in the house at all times. So how she views her palace is a tomb. I'm going to die here. I'm going to die alone. So Ryuji activates the metaverse because that's the word. The word is tomb, but he does it inside of the damn house. So the palace, we enter the metaverse. The palace starts in the desert. So it's like, huh, okay, all right, cool. So we arrive at a pyramid, right? Yusuke is like, ooh, this is perfectly conformed to the golden ratio. You know, some artistic shit. Shout out to my artists that know about the golden ratio, by the way. we enter inside the pyramid, the air inside. First, the desert was hot as shit. We were there. We were in our regular clothes, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. So normally when we enter any type of metaverse, our outfit changes immediately. But our outfits didn't change when we went to the desert, and it definitely didn't change when we entered the pyramid, which would be palace, castle, whatever. So it was interesting. So Morgana suggests that it's because Futaba doesn't see us as a threat because she knows we're entering into her heart to steal the treasure and to, you know, heal her. The tomb is mad gorgeous, by the way. It's beautiful. The colors are turquoise. There's these bright colors and these bright elements, and it's all nice. But shortly after we explore, we find Shadow Futaba just like in this, like in the foyer of the pyramid. And Shadow Futaba's like, I killed my mother. And then Shadow Futaba disappears, and then like this huge ball comes down the foyer, almost like some Indiana Jones shit. They have to run, and they have to run back out of the foyer. The ball almost kills them, and then the foyer closes up. And it's like, okay, so now we're locked out of the foyer. We can't go beyond to get through to the main entrance of the palace. So the Shadow Futaba reappears outside of the entrance, and she's like, well, I'll let you back in, but I need you to find the stolen papyrus from the neighboring town. So we go out to the neighboring town, we recover the papyrus, and we go back to Shadow Futaba in the pyramid, and she reveals that it's a map, actually. And then she opens the floor, and we fall through the floor and we land in quicksand. Yeah, just extra. She's just doing the most. So we get out the quicksand, and then Morgana is like, yo, her defense mechanisms are in full effect, because now that she knows that we have access, all of the things, all of the inner demons and all of the defense mechanisms are going to increase so that we can't get any deeper than that. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to reveal the full story. Like, I like dropping this in sections and in segments. And then, of course, I want to talk about the other characters, too. But anyway, I think I'm going to stop there. This is just so good, y'all. Like, I haven't played a very good game in years. I want to say, damn, Xenosaga was one of my other favorites, games. Xenosaga, the first, the second, the third one, and then the first one, oh my God, like, it had elements of the Kabbalah in there, which I still haven't done a lot of reading on. It had all this stuff, Zohar, all this interesting information. Those are my types of video games. The lore, the mythology, the esoteric, the occult information. That's my type of stuff. So whenever we have games that have that deep, just deeply crafted storylines and deeply crafted lore, that's my thing. Xenosaga was that work. I wish it was a re-release and that they dropped it in the PS store and I could play it, just, and I would have it. I don't have a PS2 anymore. But I genuinely would get one just to have Xenosaga, and I would play it all over again and actually do a full game talk discussion on Xenosaga. And I just might, as a matter of fact, I really might. If y'all don't know about Xenosaga, and any of you who do know about Xenosaga, yo, we got to talk about that shit. I need to play the game. Anyway, I must pull out here and we're going to chill and let's hold off on the following part of the Palace of Shadow Futaba, the Mejed, and remember, like, yo, we're in a whole, now we're in an Egyptian desert, an Egyptian pyramid, so something is going on. The Mejed obviously are Egyptian, so is this part of the story? Is the Mejed connected to Futaba? We about to figure it all out. So I'm gonna hold off there. Yo, let's talk more. Add me on the Instagrams. Add me on the Facebooks. I'm not Facebook. I don't even like Facebook right now. Add me on the Twitters. And let's do this thing. But yeah. Is there anything else I want to talk about before I head out? I don't think there is. The story just gets better and better and better. And Kasumi, she looks like she's going to be a really cool character, by the way. She does. She really does. And for two bees. Kasumi, she's a gymnast and she teaches me gymnastics. And those gymnastics that she teaches me, I can utilize those gymnastics and those flips and tricks in the shadow world. But anyway, I'll get to her later. I'm gonna head out now, and then I'm gonna come back with the next part of the story. But I have to talk about cancer season, and I have to give my love to my cancers too. All right, Lever Muffins, I'm out. Until such time, peace.